Hey everybody, welcome to our weekly teaching podcast. Whether you're listening on your commute to work or sitting in your lazy boy with a cup of coffee, I'm thankful that you're setting aside some time this week to join us. And without further ado, let's jump into God's Word.
As Jesus was starting out on a trip, a man came running up to him and knelt down and asked, "Good teacher, what should I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is good. But as for your question, you know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not testify falsely, do not cheat, honor your father and mother." "Teacher," the man interrupted, "I've obeyed all of these since I was a child." And Jesus felt genuine love for this man as he looked at him. "You lack only one thing," he told him. "Go and sell all you have, give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell, and he went sadly away because he had many possessions. The rich young ruler. A couple of really interesting things I want to point out in that little encounter. Right off the bat, when Jesus told him that what he was lacking was he needed to go and sell his possessions and give them to the poor, his face fell. His face fell. The interesting thing in this was originally written in Greek, and that Greek phrase is the same phrase as "the sky clouded over." Isn't that interesting? But his face fell. His whole demeanor changed. He was sad. He went away sad. Again, that phrase in the Greek is bigger than just sad. It's sorrow to the point of death. It's like we know that sorrow, right? Some of us, the deep, deep, heart-wrenching sorrow, the grieving. This guy knows, and he gets it. He sees what Jesus is saying, and in the moment of pondering, "I've done everything else, but I'm not doing that." And he looks Jesus right in the eye. He looks Jesus right in the eye and walks away broken. Why? Is it because he had lots of possessions? I don't know if that's the best way to describe that. But I think that these possessions were more valuable to him than being right with God. These possessions were more valuable to him than being right with God. That's a tough statement. That's a tough statement. If you have a Bible, go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. That's a passage we're going to land in this morning. And this morning I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to read from the NLT, the New Living Translation of the Bible. Many people have asked me about this and asked me if I would consider teaching from this translation. It is a very, very good translation. It's a lot easier to understand than the ESV that I typically use. And so I'm going to try it in a couple of weeks, maybe. Your feedback is welcome, okay? So I'm going to read from that translation today. Before we go there, Matt Boda is a friend of mine. He's a pastor in Calgary, and this is what he said in talking about this. "Deep within us, there is a thirst for more. We were created that way, that with a constant thirst for more and more and more. But that thirst can only be quenched by God. That's how we were created. The chasing after the more, the pursuing more, and trying to have that thirst quenched in other places other than God is the core, it's the basis to the seven deadly sins, to all of them. And today, it fits perfectly when we're talking about greed." Now, if I had told you ahead of time we were talking about greed, we'd probably have half the crowd here. The truth is, Well, let's just jump into Scripture. Thank you for coming. 1 Timothy chapter 6, that's where we're going to be. I'm just going to read one verse at a time and we'll talk about it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. True religion with contentment is great wealth. True godliness with contentment is in itself great wealth. Unspeakable wealth is found when we become content with, happy with, satisfied with, living right with God. That word contentment, that word will come up a few times today. It's a few times in this passage. I think contentment is one of the keys in finding freedom from guilt. I think the first thing we need to do, as I read this verse, the first thing we need to do when dealing with greed is to redefine wealth. To redefine wealth. Interesting, as I thought about this today, at conversations back and forth this week with a pastor in Haiti, and I couldn't help but think, talking about greed, talking about redefining wealth and understanding this, folks, as we read our scripture, and as I speak and talk about and unpack scripture, I cannot teach something here in our North American context that is not equally 100% true if I was preaching it in a church in Haiti. The principles are exactly the same. And it's different because our level of comfort and wealth compared to the comfort and wealth in Haiti or in Liberia, completely, completely different. And yet, the pages of Scripture are the same. I'll probably mention that again later. Paul talks about this contentment again in Philippians chapter 4. He says, "Not that I was ever in need, for I learned how to get along happily, to be content, whether I have much or little. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or an empty stomach, with plenty or little, so I can do everything with the help of Christ who gives me the strength that I need." Paul says, walking with Jesus, no matter how full life is or how empty my stomach is, walking with Jesus is the contentment. What an outrageous statement. It says, I don't care if my life is full of great things, of nice things, of good food, or if my life is full of nothing, it makes no difference to me, he says. Why? Because I'm walking with Jesus. Now, is that a statement of values? Or is that a statement of trust? I think it's both. Because walking with Jesus means I'm okay. Jesus is with me. There's a trust factor there. There's a trust with my life and my resources and my stuff. But it's also a statement of values, because as I walk with Jesus, my values change. Paul says, I believe, if you are a follower of Christ, this is you, because you have Jesus. So he says to the rich young ruler, would you give up everything just to have Jesus? Or is the stuff, the comfort, the wealth, the status, the good life more important than following Jesus? Well, I hope already I'm messing with your idea of what greed is. What if God asked you to, for the rest of your life from today forward, to live in an unheated 8x8 shed? With just barely enough food to get by and one change of clothes. What if God asked that of you this morning? We know full well that 80% of the world lives that way, right? That's not a greed factor. But it is sobering. I'll never forget one missions trip I was on in Dominican Republic. And Diane, I don't know if Diane's here this morning, Diane Wood was with us on that trip. We were in a place near the Haitian border, a very, very poor town, and the houses were basically dead branches from trees stuck in the ground, and whatever they could find from the dump, they would stick on the trees to kind of close it in. A lot of the times it was soup cans or something that they had ripped open and just stuck on, and just the hinges on their doors were old running shoe sandals. I went into this one house that I'll never forget. It was a single woman who lived in there, and in her house, which was no bigger than this platform I'm standing on here, she had a mat on the floor, one chair, one table. On the table was one bowl, and an orange was in the bowl, and that was that's all she had. And when we walked in, the first thing she did was offer us the orange. Hey, you've been to countries like that? It blows me away every time. These people are happy, and these people are generous. There must be some secret, right? Some secret that we're missing? There's got to be. Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 13. I'm not going to go there, but there's two quick parables that Jesus tells. He talks about the pearl of great price, and he says a man found this pearl, this enormously wealthy pearl. He sold everything he had and went and bought the pearl. The next verse talks about a similar parable. A guy was in a field. He found this incredible treasure. He went and sold everything he had so he could buy the field. And I was thinking about that this week, because if we didn't know much about the Bible or understand how this fits into Jesus' teaching, it'd be really easy to take that teaching and say, look, it says, do whatever you need to do to get what you want. Is that what Jesus is saying? Go and sell everything you have to get that treasure. Give up it. Is that what Jesus is saying? No. Jesus is using something that drives us, something that pricks at each one of our hearts, something we all know, an emotion, a feeling, a mindset that we all know and understand, and says there is a better way. Redefine wealth. What is treasure? What is wealth? We all understand that longing we have for more. The treasure is Jesus. This desperate get what you want at all cost is a waste of energy if it's used on stuff, because the way God created us with that longing in our heart is to be used on more of God. That's why he created us that way, with this longing for more. This never be satisfied. There is a hole in our heart. Nothing but God can fill it. Redefine wealth. That's the first thing. Verse 7 will give us the second thing. A true religion with contentment is great wealth. After all, we didn't bring anything with us when we came into this world. We certainly cannot carry anything with us when we die. We've all heard that before, and we all know that full well. The day is coming when I am going to be gone from this earth. Probably you too. Nothing will accompany us. No stuff, no bank account, no status, nothing. We arrive with nothing in this world. We leave with nothing. What happens in between? What happens in between? Collect as much stuff as we can? Or in between, glorify God. Those two things are tug of war against each other. Take the long view for a second. Look at my life, look at your life in light of all of eternity. All eternity past and all eternity ahead of us. When we look at my life in light of all of that, things and possessions and wealth is not a bad thing. Please don't hear me that way. It's not a bad thing. But they might be a distraction. things and wealth have no eternal value unless they're used eternally. All of our cravings, our longings, our wants, and desires are not bad. But in the long view, they're all irrelevant unless they're used eternally. When we look at just today, look at my life in view of today or this afternoon, we're urgent. There's always a sense of urgency. We scramble around, I got to get this in place, or I got to have the right pot so I can make this dish properly. I need these shoes to go with this outfit. I need the newest phone just because it just came out. And when we take this narrow, really short view of life, these things are great. And often, they're necessary. But when we take the perspective of eternity, these things are irrelevant. Am I right? When I take a bigger view, and instead of just this afternoon, I take the view of my lifetime. The 60, 80, 120 years, whatever we get. When I look at it that way, it's a bigger picture. All of a sudden, the mortgage and my retirement plan, my kids and college and all those kind of things become enormous things in my life. And they're important things. They're necessary things. But if I look at that in light of eternity, do any of those things really matter? They're super important when I look at the vantage point of me. But when I look at things from God's vantage point, what eternal benefit do they have? What really matters then? None of these things are necessarily wrong. The question is, what drives us? What drives us? I think all seven of these deadly sins, they're deep. They're deep. They're hiding. We're blinded somewhat to them. A week ago, Murray, I think I saw Murray here this morning, Murray had operation on the cancer. And in an email, he gave me an update of what happened. And he said they even found the little bit that was hiding. Folks, when we look at the seven deadly sins, that's probably the worst part. Because we can clean off the stuff that everybody sees and everybody knows. It's the little bit that's hiding that we got to get at. And greed works that way too. And it may be not spoken, but it comes out in our actions. Some of us were raised in a family where pay off the house, get ready for retirement, make sure the kids have inheritance, are high value things. And they're good things, right? But honestly, in light of God's kingdom, in light of God's eternal plan, in light of all of eternity, really? Like I said already once, I hope I'm messing with your idea of greed. We have to redefine wealth. And we have to live with eternity in mind. We have to live for God's purpose. Ever think that everything you have is a gift from God for the sake of the kingdom? My bicycle. I don't ride my bicycle a whole lot. I could do a lot more. But what if I look at my bicycle as a gift from God to me to use for his kingdom? What about my health or my strength, my time, my bank account, my savings, my home? Have you ever looked at your home as a gift from God to you to use for his kingdom, to use for his plan? Are we stewards of purpose? Or are we stewards of ourselves? These are hard questions. In 1978, when I went to college, I got a Canada student loan. It was a $5,000 loan, and the reason I remember that is because as soon as I got that loan in my bank account, I went out and bought a $4,500 stereo. Here's my point with that. I'm not going to tell you I was looking at a stereo online yesterday. I got a loan for a purpose, and I used it for a different purpose. Me. Do we not do this kind of thing all the time? again, I'm not saying stuff or wealth or possessions are a bad thing. Please don't misunderstand me and please don't misquote me. But I think we need to live with eternity in mind. If I asked you about the heavenly beings that Scripture talks about, what do they do? What is their purpose? What do they do all day long? They worship. They glorify God. Well, folks, if you are a Christ follower, you are an eternal being. Our purpose is to glorify God. Live as an eternal being, involved in eternally meaningful things, things that will affect all of eternity. Can we actually live today like we're living with an eternal view of everything? Can my stuff actually be held loosely enough that it's for heaven's purpose and not mine? You want freedom from greed? Redefine wealth, treasure, value. What is most important? And glorify God with your life. That's why you're on the planet. Verse 8. I'll read 7 and 8. We had nothing when we came into the world. We certainly cannot carry anything with us when we die. So, if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. Ouch. If we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. There's that content word again. It's no question, Paul, here in his letter to Timothy, again in Philippians, in several places, he talks about contentment. In his mind, contentment is the opposite to greed. In 2008, we were living in Calgary and the huge recession hit. 25% of the downtown office people were without work immediately. 25% of downtown workers had to radically alter the way they lived their lives from one day to the next. So what if you said to your family, sorry, no vacation this year? What if I had to say to Lisa, I'm sorry, the next couple of weeks, we can't go and sit at Amici's and have a coffee? What if I had to ride my bicycle to work because I can't afford to put gas in my motorcycle or in my car or in my truck? Some of you have been at the place where you can't go to Florida in the winter because of insurance costs or because of cash flow. What does it mean to be content? Lisa reminded me last night of a woman that we know in Calgary who, in that recession, their family was struggling so much. What was bending her out of shape was, well, this year we didn't put nearly as much into savings as we normally do. You know what my response was? You have savings? The difference. Here's the third thing. We'd redefine wealth, live to glorify God. The third thing is define the contents of your contentment. Where's that line? Where's the line where you would be content? I bet it's way lower than you think. Have you ever moved and ended up moving into your new house, and then there's a whole bunch of boxes that you never even opened 3 or 4 years later? Do we miss that stuff? I've been here for 5 years now. Most of my books from my office are still in boxes in my basement. You know what? I've never even opened the box. Do I need all of that? What do I have a whole room full of books for? Oh, it makes me look good. It makes me look smart. I've read all these books. That's last week's sermon, right? That's pride. Where is your line of contentment? I'll bet it's a lot lower than you think. Verse 9 and 10. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is at the root of all kinds of evil, and some people, craving money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Now, folks, I am not a financial genius. And I even talk with our treasurer in the church, and there's lots of things I don't understand. We look at those papers, and that's not the way my brain works. But I do understand what this is. Do you know what a ROI, a return on investment, You know what that is? Look at this for a second. It's like simply, if I put $1,000 in investment and over the course of time I made $200, that's the return on my investment. Look at the words in this passage. This thing I just read, temptation, trap, foolish desires, harmful desires, ruin, destruction, roots in evil, wandering from true faith, many sorrows. Okay, if you sat down with your investment advisor and these were the return on your investment, how many are in? Folks, I don't want any part of that investment. And yet, greed is telling us to invest. Our time, our energy, our resource into something that will result in temptation, traps, foolish desires, harmful desires, ruin, destruction, roots of evil, wandering from true faith, and many sorrows. No wonder Jesus said in Luke 12, beware, guard yourself against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. I paused there on purpose. Life is not measured by how much we own. And greed isn't just for people who have lots, that I can look at them and say, wow, they must be greedy, or they, you know what? Greed is just as powerful. I could be wealthy and chasing more, or I could be very, very poor and chasing more. It's the same. Either pulls us in the opposite direction of God. It's a tug of war against God's way. So the fourth thing, what's your return on your investment when it's looked at in God's economy, in God's kingdom? That means nothing to you if you're not a Christ follower. But if you are a follower of Jesus, then that means everything. Number 5, verse 11 and 12. But you, Timothy, belong to God. So run from all these evil things and follow what is right and good. Pursue a godly life along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good faith for what we believe. Hold tightly to the eternal life that God has given you, which you have confessed so well before so many witnesses. Two little phrases in there. Eternal life. Eternal life isn't a future. Eternal life starts now. Are we living eternally? Go after real treasure. It's only offered by Jesus. And I'm captured in that verse by the little phrase, true faith. Wandered from true faith. Does that mean churches are full of people who have faith, but it's not true faith? Because greed leads us in a road to wander from true faith. Back to the rich young ruler. As he looks Jesus in the eye, and Jesus tells him he needs to sell everything, give it to the poor, and come follow me. Basically, put me first. Jesus is saying to this guy, this is the monster in your life. This is the thing that has its talons so deep inside of you. This is how you're chasing a life of happiness and joy without me, Jesus says. And the guy walks away. The point of that story, why is that recorded for us? Jesus says, put me first. Be willing to walk away from everything that stands in the way of Jesus first. Again, I'm not saying stuff or wealth or nice things are bad. But are we willing to walk away from all of it in trusting him? Let Jesus tell you how rich you are? Here's the choice that will free you from the trap or leave you longing. Either you believe that your thirst for more can be quenched by things, or we allow Jesus to be the source of our fullness. The study in the seven deadly sins, all of them, as you'll see as we walk through this, come around to one thing, and it's living about me. This is opposition to God's way. All of these start with my own attempt to satisfy myself. And that is the opposite to God's way and God's plan for you. I Googled this week, what is the purpose of life? And I got about 25 or 30 very different answers. I want to show you 9 of them, okay? To find happiness. This came from the Dalai Lama. And he was talking about contentment. The purpose of life is to find happiness. Another said, the purpose of life is to explore and experience. Or to love others and be loved, to leave a legacy of love. To accomplish whatever your heart calls you to take care of yourself and take care of the world, to find self-actualization and shape your world accordingly, to be a difference maker in your world, to become the best version of ourself, and to know God, enjoy God, and glorify God. Do you see yourself in any of there? Which ones define greed, and which ones define the heart of Jesus? Let's pray. Jesus, whether this is deep in us, or whether there's just a little bit of things here, or whether it's deep and hidden, God, either way, we need your grace. We need your mercy. We're desperate for your forgiveness and for your power. We need Jesus. Give us a vision of what real wealth is. A life that is rich because of Jesus. Because of what you've done. The cross and Jesus on the cross and what you accomplished on the cross defines everything we need to know about what wealth is. God, would you open our eyes that we can see? In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. If we mention another sermon or a video in this teaching, then we'll try to have a link to it in the episode notes. If you'd like to watch the video version of this, there's also a link below to our YouTube page. Thanks again for listening. We hope you come back next week for more.